Hi all, this is John here. Hope you have had a lovely week. Just to give you a bit of context about our latest and one of our last, I guess, podcast interviews on the TJ podcast, I recently spoke to Hannah Ford. Hannah Ford is a partner at Stevens & Bolton, a law firm. We talked about how to reintegrate a divided workforce and workplace tensions due to things like people going on furlough, whether there has been special treatment for people who haven't, or maybe special treatment for people who have. It's a bit of a minefield. The furlough scheme, has gone on for a long time and is currently in the stages of being wrapped up. And so no one knows quite what to expect next. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done with workforces who have had some of their people on furlough and some of them not. So Hannah's obviously an expert in this, and she talked about ways that you can do this well and keep your workforce together going forward. So it was a really good chat. Hope you enjoy. Why should employers be prepared for tension as they seek to reintegrate their workforce after periods of furlough, and what can we do about that?
Well, I think it's that they should be wary about stoking disputes in the workplace, because effectively they're remarrying two pockets of the workforce who've had different experiences over the past 16 or so months, and resentment may have built up because of their different perspectives. So, for example, those who've been furloughed have been off the pitch for long periods of time, or potentially intermittent periods of time, and they may feel that furlough was imposed upon them when they had very little choice, and they may feel disgruntled by their selection for furlough. So, you know, kind of why me syndrome. When they return to the office, they may have a loss of confidence. They may feel de-skilled and out of touch with the business, and they may feel that the world has kind of moved on, or the workplace has moved on without them being included in it. They may be more fearful about their job security as a result, because they perceive that they're less valued by the business. There's also kind of the loss of connection with colleagues, potentially guilt and embarrassment about being kind of rested for a period of time whilst the other, their colleagues have kind of put in a shift. There may be kind of mental health issues resulting from being isolated from the business for a lengthy period of furlough. And then the non-furloughed may feel slightly resentful of what they perceive to be kind of refreshed and re-energized employees. They may feel burnt out and feel that they were more deserving of furlough, so that colleagues may have kind of played the system. They may feel a disconnection from furloughed employees. So you've got these two pockets, which potentially can be problematic and may lead to kind of a feeling of conflict or dispute. And that's what I think employers should be alive to. It's not a given that there will be tension, but you should be anticipating that there may be.
With that in mind, what strategies could employers implement to reintegrate a divided workforce, do you think?
I think communication is key. So in where you have any element of employee relations, tension or conflict, communicate. You should recognise and acknowledge the feeling of both pockets of the workplace. So empathising with each side's perspective and addressing anxieties where they exist. Where employees, for example, have been off the pitch for a long period of time, consider training or coaching them so that they regain confidence and so they're reintegrated into the workplace. Checking in with the furloughed employees regularly to ensure that their anxieties and concerns are addressed and they feel seen and heard. There should be a focus on human connection. I appreciate that's challenging in a lockdown world, and given the restrictions which are currently in place and some which may remain. But you can do some element of team socials and some forms of integration, even if it's through virtual, the dreaded kind of Zoom team building and stuff like that. But that has its place, I think. And it's a focus on kind of rebuilding a culture with which the whole unified workforce can identify. And I think that's the crux of it, really. It's acknowledging the differences, but working towards a unified workforce. And there are some levelers here. There's some things that are universal. I suspect everybody's been through a really challenging 16 to 18 month period. And although people have had unique perspectives and unique experiences, this has been mentally challenging for many, many employees. So I think that if you have a strategy which is more unified, which combats this, for example, well-being initiatives, greater support, flexibility in the new landscape, and encouraging talking and connection, then that's a really great thing.
So with all these things in mind, we're looking at ways to reintegrate people and keep them integrated. Obviously, yeah, like you say, people have been through a lot of different experiences, some of them which will probably stay with them for a while. What are the pitfalls that employers should avoid, which could exacerbate workplace tensions, be they existing tensions or ones that you think might bubble to the surface because of the new sort of way that we're going to be working?
Well, I think there's definitely a concern around incentive payments or bonuses, which are just targeted at the non-furloughed, so just those who've been working over the past 16 to 18 months. And that can create a discrimination risk because, as I mentioned, some people who were furloughed had it imposed upon them by their employer, or there were medical or other childcare reasons why they were selected for furlough and why they chose that path. So if you're incentivizing and rewarding those who weren't furloughed, then there's a clear risk of a claim for discrimination. And generally, I think employers should avoid creating divisions and continuing divisions between the furloughed and the non-furloughed. There's a difference between acknowledging their different experiences over the past 16 to 18 months and cementing those divisions in the future. So, for example, if implementing redundancies or forced to implement redundancies, you should be really careful about identifying those who've been furloughed or selecting on the basis that someone's been furloughed. So, for example, using their skill set, their breadth of skills or their experience as a criterion for selection for redundancy, where they have effectively been forced off the pitch and it hasn't been a point of their choosing. That again could give rise to a risk of discrimination or general unfairness. And then that there are other kind of more subtle points, I suspect, which will come in from left field over the next few months. So inevitably, employers will have difficult decisions to make. So, and there may be just a perceived unfairness of the furlough scheme. So, for example, if an employee had been furloughed for a really long period of time, then they would have accrued holiday on furlough. And it may be that if they are allowed to take that holiday in over the next 12 months, that could lead to real tension and resentment amongst the non-furloughed workforce, who kind of may have a perception that they are rested and that they have been on something akin to a holiday throughout furlough. So you just want to be alive to those kind of tensions. One way around that particular scenario could be requiring the furloughed staff to take their accrued annual leave before they return if timings allow for it and if the business can afford it. But there's other kind of sensitivities which I suspect may arise just by virtue of perception. So for example, those who've been furloughed may have been furloughed on reduced family income, and so may be more sensitive to reduced hours or pay cuts. And similarly, those who have been working may feel that those who've been furloughed have had effectively a holiday, a paid holiday, and may feel cross or resentful at them returning with this fresh energy when they have had a difficult year or so and have been potentially exposed to COVID in a greater sense than those furloughed and maybe burnt out.
So there's one last question, and it's about any other things we need to look at really to kind of head off future problems, future issues with workplace tension. Yeah, what do you think? Are there any other causes apart from things we've already discussed? Is there anything else that you see maybe on the horizon that could result in developing sustained workplace tension at all?
For those who are returning to an office environment, there is the introduction of hybrid working and a change from returning to the workplace after a lengthy period of remote working. And we've seen a huge groundswell, a huge appetite from the UK workforce to continue remote working for at least a few days a week. And the figures are even greater in London. I think there is this huge appetite to not give up the flexibility which they've attained over the past 16 months. And again, employers should be alive to that and should be responsive to it. And those that can read the room and can grant flexibility and can empathise with this feeling of this thirst for flexibility will have a competitive advantage. And those who are able to implement a new kind of hybrid working model whereby employees are able to flex their place and timings of work will again be the ones that are able to capitalise on a kickstarting economy. Those are the two key themes that I see arising over the next year or so.
Well, Anna, thanks for the insight. It's an interesting time, and as the furlough scheme finally, in quote marks, who knows, wraps up, we're sort of approaching the next stage of this new era of business. But yeah, thanks for your insight and opinions on this, and speak to you very soon. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, John.